Good morning. So the scripture reading will be in Matthew chapter 6, 5 to 15, in the Old Pew Bibles, that is page 1040. Okay. But when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for giving us such a beautiful day, Lord. I pray that you be with those who weren't able to be here today, and for us who have been, who you have brought to your house today, Lord, I pray that you open our hearts and minds to what Pastor has to say to us today, Lord. I pray that you help us have forgiving hearts, Lord, and that you lead us in our daily lives. Lord, I pray that you bless this day, pray that you be with us throughout the rest of the week, and help us always remember what we have heard from our pastor, Lord, and protect us on our ways. I pray that you bless us, O Lord, in your name I pray, amen.
Thank you. If our Heavenly Father is who I think he is, and if I am a little example of how my Father, Heavenly Father, is, then I would like to share with you my feelings about conversations with my children. Now, as you know, my daughter Ruth was traveling and not knowing where she was going exactly and what she was doing. And, excuse me for 1 second. I was concerned and I was expecting her to call me. Well, you know what? I was waiting, I thought, a year. Before she called me, it wasn't a year, obviously. It was only a couple of days. And then she tried, and her voice gave me a lot of joy. And when she said, I am calling you, Dad, from Italy, on top of a mountain or something, and I said, the telephone lines actually must be long, knowing that there were no telephone lines, but her conversation went up to the satellite, down to Earth, back to Earth, and back to the Bell Canada lines or somewhere, and then to me. And I said, if I, being a human being, cannot relax, and I want to hear my voice, even though I could say, well, Ruth is a big girl, and she knows how to take care of herself, hopefully, and all kind of stuff went through my mind, then my Heavenly Father expects me to talk to him. And if it's easy enough for her to pick up that little phone and dial and call me, then it's easy enough for me to open my mouth or my heart. I don't even have to utter those words and speak to my Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father knows who I am, where I am, what I do, and how I think. But nevertheless, he wants to hear my voice. He wants to know that I will take time, because I love him, to talk to him. And so the word prayer comes into our message this morning. Prayer. The other day, or yesterday actually, my wife said, look at these Jewish, Hasidic Jewish people going at through the lane. Now they just opened another prayer room or a little synagogue on Park Avenue. So they were going for prayer. And just about a week ago, I went out and I talked to someone. I said, why are you all wearing these shawls and going? Is it a holiday? He says, no, we're going down to our place to pray. And then you see the Muslims have their own prayer time, and then you have the Catholics and the Protestants and the Greek Orthodox, the way they pray, and you just ask, and you have other religions that pray, and you ask, what is a prayer? Well, prayer is, as I just described my conversation with my daughter Ruth, is exactly that, talking to our Heavenly Father. Have you ever wondered how many people who pray, who they pray, and why they pray, and whether their prayers will be heard and answered? Many not knowing who to pray to and why, they never or rarely pray. Most religions practice prayer in one form or another. They pray either to one God or many gods, and even to things. The World Book Dictionary defines prayer this way, and I was surprised to find that definition in that dictionary. It says, to speak to God in worship, enter into a spiritual communion with God, to ask earnestly, etc. Now, if they had to write this definition today, probably they wouldn't put it that way. And because most religions have made prayer or forms of it part of their religious ritual and tradition, people in general may pray or participate in prayers, not necessarily knowing why and what they are doing and why. Some religions even have come up with some things and ways to help or encourage people to pray. For example, things like prayer books, prayer shawls, prayer beads, prayer rugs, prayer wheels, prayer sticks, and so on have been and are being used today to help us to pray. Just yesterday or a couple of days ago, I received an envelope from an organization in Toronto or Niagara Falls, I believe. It's a Catholic organization that sent to Races sisters. They send me stickers for my envelopes, and I'm sure every one of you has about 500 stickers that you've been receiving, if not more, for your use. And it said they had little prayers that sent to Race had prayed, and they were encouraging us to pray the same prayer. Prayer books have all kinds of prayers written for the benefit of those who want to repeat them. The prayer wheel used by the Buddhist or of Tibet is similar to the prayer book that many Christians use, only easier to use. It's a cylinder inscribed with or containing prayers. When it's rotated, each turn counts as one uttered prayer. The Bible says that prayer is speaking with God, the one living God, reading or repeating a prayer, making a sign, or rotating a prayer wheel is as logical as it is for a child to go to a parent and repeat a statement, make a sign, or spin a wheel with all kinds of requests. Now, that would be interesting if my grandchildren would come and say exactly the same thing as I said when they were leaving for Toronto and repeat the same statement. That wouldn't make any statement because they had just come back from Toronto. So I wanted them to have a fresh greeting, fresh thought, fresh expression of their feelings. And I believe God wants us exactly to have that kind of a attitude toward Him, fresh thoughts, fresh comments, fresh requests. Jesus would did. As a matter of fact, I believe that the best example we have is what Jesus did. He prayed to his Father with every situation and a fresh request. Jesus did not represent any particular race, religion, or man-made doctrine. Came to this planet Earth to show us the way and connect us, the human race, with God the Father. This permanent connection was made through a toll-free prayer line, if you wish, available to all those who want to reach God, our Creator and Sustainer. In Matthew 6, verses 5 and 9, Jesus says that prayer should be done with sincerity. He said, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who want to be seen by prayer. Now, the prayers we pray in the church, the prayers we pray at home, the prayers we pray at a funeral, the prayers we pray at a wedding are not poems that are being repeated or should be repeated. But unfortunately, you will go to a funeral and you'll hear the Lord's Prayer. You'll go to a wedding and you'll hear the Lord's Prayer. You'll come to a church and you'll hear the Lord's Prayer. You'll go for supper someplace and the pastor or the leader will say, let's just pray. Thank you. Now, I don't know whether I can suck a candy and preach at the same time, but I'll try. Just for a little second. But I've been to churches and I've been to suppers and weddings and funerals where the Lord's Prayer is being repeated. And you know what? People are very sincere and people mean what they do and they believe that God is listening to them. But please, for one second, put yourself in the place of God. There are billions of people on this earth and there are millions of Christians praying and all they are saying, Our Father who art in heaven. And they all are repeating the same thing. And you just wonder, how would God feel? Now, God is able to hear every individual prayer separately. And you say, how? Well, the same way you receive all kinds of frequencies over your cell phone, even though there is one kind of atmosphere and there is usually one kind of a carrier carries all these frequencies, you can hear that individual. So God is able to do it. If people pray only to impress others, then Jesus declares the prominence they gain is the one reward they will receive. And I believe this applies to those who stand up on a platform or in a church meeting or somewhere and they pray the prettiest prayer there was. I often have been envious of people who can stand up and pray a prayer that I could never do. Because they use the appropriate words, they express themselves so well, and the fluctuation of their voice and the depth of their thought comes out so wonderfully. But then again, if they do that all the time, people will say, "Whoa, have you ever heard brother or sister so-and-so? How beautifully she prays." The moment that is done, then the reward has been received by the person. Now, if the person prays from his or her heart, it's not his or her problem, but we cannot pray, we must not pray to impress others or God. As a matter of fact, when I'm praying, sometimes I will try and choose words that will please God, and I realize how hypocritical that may be, because God knows my heart and God wants to hear what I want to say and not how necessarily I'm saying it. Jesus goes on to say that prayer should not consist of empty repetitions or keep on babbling empty phrases. Verse 7 says, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words." Prayer is direct access to God. Why would you phone someone unless you have something to ask or say? or just talk with someone you love and care for. That's why you call. To pray because everyone else does it, or because it is prayer time, or because we have to, means nothing to God. To help us understand what prayer is all about, Jesus gave us a model prayer, verses 9 to 13. It is generally called the Lord's Prayer. We should remember, however, that Jesus never prayed it for himself. This prayer was not his prayer, was a model prayer given to us. It was given to his disciples as a model after which they could pattern their prayers. It is not given to be repeated regularly as their prayer. Verse 7 makes that very clear. In this model prayer, there are certain things we must remember. Who are we talking or praying to? When we pray, we must first acknowledge that God is our Heavenly Father, that He is sovereign over the universe. Our Father in heaven means exactly that. If someone had called me and said, "Hi there, how are you?" I would say, unless he is my friend or someone that I know very well, I would first of all want to know who the person is. And I would want to know whether he knows me or he knows who I am. We must begin our prayer with words of worship, praise, and honor. Hallowed be thy name. In Greek, the word is Ayastito to nomaso, which means may your name be holy. In Armenian, is the same, Anun surpolla, which means to be holy and is holy. After worship, we should pray for the advancement of God's will, putting His interest first, but specifically we should pray for His kingdom on earth when He comes to reign in righteousness. Your kingdom come. In our prayers, we acknowledge that God knows what it is best for us, and so we surrender our will to Him. We also express our desire to see His will acknowledged throughout the world. Your will be done. There are people who will not even use that expression because they don't really want God's will to be done, but they want their request to be answered or their will be done. And I've used the example of people who called me for healing. After a radio program or after someone has found our small tract or a pamphlet, and they will say, "Would you please pray for me? I'm very sick and I need healing." And I will say, "Well, let's pray." And I may even suggest that the person may be willing to let God decide, or God's will may be done. And there have been times where the person would argue with me and even hang up the phone, because I'm saying God's will be done rather than ask God to heal the person. I believe that God is not a butler, is not our servant. We cannot tell Him what to do. We can only bring to Him our request and our desire for healing. After putting God's interest first, we can present our own needs. In our prayer, we acknowledge our God and our dependence on God for daily food, both spiritual and physical. Give us our daily bread. The bread that we ask for is not only our physical food, but is our spiritual food. God blessed them, or at least fed them for 40 years. The children of Israel were fed in Israel, in the desert for 40 years. They received food for their soul, but also they received food for their bodies. Manna came from heaven. His blessings were poured on them. All believers who have already been forgiven through the new birth don't have to pray for their past sins, because those sins have been forgiven already, because the past has been forgiven and dealt with once for all. But we must deal with daily sins and ask for forgiveness, which is necessary to restore broken communion with God. forgive us our debts, our sins. If I've hurt someone's feelings today, then I should ask that person to forgive me for hurting his or her feelings today. And not because I asked already forgiveness 2 years ago about something else. That doesn't cover this particular sin. Just because God has forgiven all my past sins, it doesn't mean I don't have to, or I should not have to deal with my today's sins. And some people have the misunderstanding or a doctrine that they believe that once your sins have been forgiven, these forgiven sins are the past sins, the present sins, and the future sins. It is true that God is willing to forgive your past and has forgiven them. He is willing to forgive the today's sins, and He is willing to forgive the future sins if you bring them to Him, if you are sorry for those sins, if you confess your sins, and if you ask for forgiveness, your sins will be forgiven. That is our conversation with God. But we must deal with daily sins. But if believers are unwilling to forgive those who wrong them, how can they expect to be fellowship, to be in fellowship with their Heavenly Father, who has freely given from heaven to them for their wrongdoings? As we forgive our debtors, a better translation is, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Everyone who sins against us is our debtor. We must be willing to forgive those who sin against us, who hurt our feelings, in order for us to go to God and ask for His forgiveness and be forgiven. You see, His forgiveness is conditional. And some people may disagree with that, but the Bible makes it very clear. And the Bible says, Jesus said, unless we forgive those who have hurt our feelings, unless we forgive those who have sinned against us, no use going to God for His forgiveness for our sins, because He will send us back and say, go and ask for forgiveness for what you've done before you come to me for my forgiveness, for your sins. And finally, because we do not trust our own ability to resist temptations or stand up under trials, we must acknowledge complete dependence on God for protection from sin by the power of God. It should be the heart's cry for daily salvation from the power of sin. Deliver us from the evil one, or deliver us from evil. In Greek is chemis and engesis pirasmon, which means, and stop us from being tempted or going toward temptation. God does not tempt us. And the Bible says, God, you cannot tempt God, as He will never tempt you. He will allow you to go through temptations or trials, but He Himself will not tempt you to do evil. Verses 14 and 15 are actually footnotes to explain what Jesus had just said. For verse 12, and emphasize that God's parental forgiveness of our sins mentioned in verse 12 is conditional. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. The person who shows mercy to others receives mercy from God. When was the last time you had a conversation with your Heavenly Father? I mean, take time to talk with Him. God loves to hear from His children. And I believe that as you are excited when a good friend of yours calls you, I'm sure you are excited when your father or mother calls you that you've missed. I'm sure as father or mother you get very excited and anxious to hear from your son or daughter or grandchild. And I know my sister-in-law, Elise, Every time she talks to her grandson, she gets so excited, she shares it with my wife. And she even talks his talk because she is so excited she heard from her grandson. And I believe God is like that. Can you imagine what kind of a miserable life that would be if we had a prayer written for us and every time we met would pray that prayer, would think that prayer, would write that prayer, and we had nothing else, we would have nothing else to say to God because God expected us to say that. That would be like being robots or little tape recorders or MP3s just repeating the same thing over and over and over again. But because we're not electronic equipment, and because we're not tape recorders, and because we're not little MP3s repeating the same song over and over again, He expects us to, if you wish, compose our own songs, compose our own statements, compose our own prayers, and coin our own phrases and pray them to God and speak to Him. And then take time to listen. The problem with us often is we pray because we must pray. We pray because the next person prays. We pray because we are asked to pray. Would you? And I often do that. I would turn to someone in the congregation and say, would you please pray? And this person, okay, he has no choice. Very rarely I've heard someone say, okay, but I thank you. No, I don't want to pray. Usually, but that is a prayer because someone asked us. But the wonderful thing would be if every one of us would be eager to speak to our Heavenly Father, but to speak to someone, you must believe that He is there, that He is listening, and that He cares about you, and He cares about what you have to say to Him. Now, if you go to God and say, God, really, I messed up my hair, and I don't know, I don't know how I'm going to deal with that, you may think, that's stupid. What am I talking to God? As if God cares about my hair. But if that is your pain right then, and that is what is so overwhelming that you cannot even think anything else, God cares about your hair. And if you have done something bad, but it's so small, yet you want to go to God and talk to Him about that small thing, and you think, oh, God is busy now with other greater things. But if that small thing is what preoccupies your mind and sort of makes you unable to deal with your daily life or walk, then that is very important to God. And one of the difficulties I've had and still have sometimes is when people call me and ask me to pray for their cat, for their bird, for their dogs, and I do get calls like that. And my first reaction is, come on, give me a break now, I'm going to pray for a cat, for a bird, but they are crying, or they are so lost. So then I pray what I think I should be praying. And I say, God, please have mercy on this person for a little cat. And then I just modify that and I say, I don't know what to say, Lord, but have mercy. Help this person. Because for that person, the loss of that animal gives so much pain. And if God cares about our feelings, and if God cares about our situation, and if God cares about our daily activities, then to Him every prayer is very important. And I would like to close with the shortest prayer recorded in the Bible. The shortest prayer in the Bible was prayed by a crook or a tax collector. Someone who had embezzled, who had stolen, who had sank to the deepest level of, if you wish, corruption. He went to the temple to pray because he had been convicted of sin. And he said, God, forgive me. And then he signed his name, a sinner. You know, the other person who was standing a little further, prayed the nicest prayer. And the words came out so naturally, so beautifully. You were about to go and pin a medal on this person because he was such a good man. He gave money, he was kind, he was generous, he prayed at the temple. But Jesus said, the prayer that was accepted, that made sense, the prayer that went through the ceiling to God's heart, was that short prayer of this sinner who said, God, forgive me. And the other prayer didn't go anywhere. Well, that's how it is. When you pray, pray what comes from your heart. Pray about everything that has been touching your life. Pray for your sins. Pray for your blessings. Thank God. Often we forget to thank others about what they do for us. But we must be grateful for everything that people do to us and God does for us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for speaking to us this morning. Lord, help us to examine ourselves. Help us to look into our daily life and look into our prayer life and look at the lack of prayer or prayers that are repetitious and go nowhere. And help us to connect with you and not only speak to you but also hear from you. Be with us this morning. And while we are preparing for the communion service, Lord, prepare our hearts. In your blessed name I pray, amen.